The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios, on air, and streaming now on HitThatLine.com. This is the Morning Rush with Tommy Kraft, Tyler Wilson,
oh my God,
Nick Mason, and Derek Ruskin.
At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Grab your coffee.
May God have mercy on your soul.
Sometimes when you win, you really lose. And sometimes when you lose, you really win. And sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie.
The Morning Rush begins now.
All right, how you doing? Friday morning, and we are loaded up, as you would expect.
You got some energy.
I have had, like, I mean, I was up when Montana lost to Michigan last night. That's how late I was up, and then I couldn't sleep. There's just a million things rattling through this brain right now, as you can imagine. And then just getting all this right. I've been here, like, since 4:45, just, you know, doing what it takes here.
And you were here for a long time. Yesterday. Yeah. I can't remember the last time I've seen you here at 2 o'clock.
Well, I'm often here after 2 o'clock.
Well, no. At 2 o'clock, oh. Meaning that you were here from 9 until 2. Normally,
oh.
You
no,
go
yeah,
out
you're right.
and do
I
your
not...
thing and do your sales
no,
or go
right.
to Hot Springs or go to
right.
go to Harrison
no,
or whatever.
No, I was here.
But
you're
you
right.
from 9 until 2.
I didn't
2.
Leave the building. You're right. Yeah. I just about didn't leave this room.
For yeah. hours.
You're right. I didn't leave this room for a couple reasons. A, we had a lot of stuff to get done.
Yeah.
As we embark on a new journey here on the Morning Rush. And we'll be talking some about that throughout the morning. And then, heck, we had basketball on. So we were, you know, we were watching some hoops, too. And
a lot less watching hoops, a lot more working, though.
Yeah. And then, exactly. That's exactly what was happening. And then went to the gym for a little bit, then just watched. And then I got home, and it was like, finally at 6:30, the other people that live in my house are like, will you please go get something for us to eat? I said, will someone else please go get something to eat so I don't have to? So then I went and got something to eat. For
I'm
everybody.
Surprised. I'm surprised that your son hasn't figured out how to just hop on the app and order food.
No, he's too busy probably writing the app.
Oh.
It was parent teacher conference day yesterday. They do a lot better than I ever did. I don't know where they clearly get their smarts from their mama. They didn't get it from me, but. Anyway, we're here on a Friday. Hope your bracket isn't totally destroyed. We'll talk about ours coming up later on. Busy day. Obviously, a lot of basketball. Basketball is kind of the star of the show. And that's, in some ways, great because it's going to dominate our weekend. But do you realize in the background here, and we're going to spend some time on this because it's worthy of the conversation, and it's not going to get enough of our time. We have a top five baseball matchup in Fayetteville this weekend. Number 4 versus number 5 tonight at 6:30. Number 4 Kentucky versus number 5 Arkansas. And I don't feel like, Nick, anyone is paying attention. Like anyone other than the diehard Razorback baseball fan is really locked in on this baseball series. Scott Tabor is going to be along at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about it and break it down a little more in depth, but if this was 4 versus 5 and anything else, the world would stop in the state of Arkansas. If it was 4 versus 5 in football, we'd have been talking about it 2 weeks ago. If it was number 4 Alabama, number 4 Kentucky, number 4 anybody coming in to play number 5 Arkansas, it'd be the biggest deal in our state. If it was basketball and number 4 Kentucky was coming in to play number 5 Arkansas, the world would stop. But because of March Madness, because of spring break being next week, kids out of school, all of these things. Am I off center on this? No. I don't feel like people are just really glued in on this the way they would be for any other sport.
2 points I want to make about that. I first want to start with, is it not a big deal that this isn't a big deal? The only reason this isn't a big deal is because the Razorbacks are in the NCAA tournament. Because if Arkansas was in the NIT and, you know, outside of them hosting a storied program, but if Arkansas was in the NIT, today probably be 60-40 or 70-30. 70 going to the baseball team, 30 going to the NIT. But the fact that Arkansas is in the NCAA tournament, and the fact that a lot of us expect, I bet you if we did a poll, and we'll do one here in a few minutes, if we did a poll that asked people, do you expect Arkansas to beat Butler today, I'm thinking it's going to be 85-15. Yeah. Or 90-10. And so a lot of the reason why we're not paying attention to the baseball team is that. And now, but in saying all of that, just because we're not focusing on it and it's not the talk of the town, don't think there's not going to be 10,000-plus people out there today.
Let's pivot to basketball because I want to kind of hit on a little bit of everything in this first segment. Then we're going to drill down into some things. We're going to spend most of our time today on basketball, particularly the Razorbacks. They play at 2:10 today. I think a lot of you are in basketball mode, so I want to be in basketball mode with you. I think you're focused in on the tournament. It's two of the most exciting days of the sports calendar year. I'm right there with you. I was eyeball deep in it last night, way too late. I was up when Michigan finally got past Montana late last night. I saw more dribbles of basketball in one day yesterday than I've seen probably since last year on the opening day of the tournament. And it was really, really good stuff. But there were a lot of games that were, eight games decided by 10 or more points, but there were six games decided by 6 points or less that were just awesome. And the day kind of started off with Oklahoma getting beat, and it just went from there with some really exciting basketball. But today, Arkansas is going to take on Butler. And I think we didn't get a chance to discuss the poll question before we hit the air this morning, getting everything ready. But we kind of discussed this on the air a little bit yesterday. I think this should be our poll question today, Nick, because everyone's got their bracket, right? Everyone's filled out their bracket. It's locked in now. We had over 750 brackets, and a lot of you guys are really, really smart in the Morning Rush. We got a lot of perfect brackets still in the Morning Rush group. So congratulations to all you guys that got 16 of 16 yesterday. Humble brag here. I got 14 of 16, right? Thought I was doing pretty good. Not even on the first page in our group. Not even on the first page.
I think I may have gotten 8 out of 16.
I got 14 of 16 games right yesterday, and I'm not even on the first page in our Morning Rush group. That's how smart our audience is.
And let me ask you a quick question about that. Where do you get that Miami's going to be upset from? Or
I watched the Missouri Valley Final, and I really like that team. That's why Loyola Chicago.
Okay.
All right, here's the poll question. Let's put this up today. Because everyone's poll's locked in. You can't really change anything. Lie to us. Where do you have Arkansas going out on your bracket? Figure out a way to word that right. Do you have them losing today? You got them winning today, into the round of 32? Or do you got them going to the Sweet 16? Are you one of these nutcases out there? You got them winning it all. As I scroll through some of the groups, I don't see a lot of Arkansas chosen as the national champion. That gives me a little more confidence, I guess. Although there is this one, MZIMM, that has Arkansas pay. I'm not sure who that is, but MZIM.
Not me.
I'm not sure whose bracket that is, but nonetheless. What do you think the confidence is and how far this team will go? That's what we're trying to measure here. I probably worded that horribly and butchered it up. How far do you have Arkansas going in your bracket? Was it heart over head? Because I'll be honest with you, you can look it up. It's right there online for everyone to see. I got Arkansas winning today and losing to Purdue. I don't got them. I do not have Arkansas in the Sweet 16. So how far do you have Arkansas? That's our poll question of the day here on a Fast Break Friday, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. Could be the final weekend we get to see Daryl Macon. Perhaps the final weekend we get to see Daniel Gafford. Mike Anderson. It's a big weekend for him because this could be the last time he's in the tournament for a couple of years. So we got a lot to get to when we peel back the layers here on basketball throughout the morning. We'll recap some of the results from yesterday. Like we said, there were six really exciting games, or at least close finishes. Six games decided by two possessions or less, 6 points or less. There were eight games decided by 10 points or more, but some of those games are yawners and were what they were supposed to be, like one and two seeds getting the job done, although Kansas looked like they were walking a fine line early before they woke up and took care of Penn by 16 points. But for the most part, all the one, two, and three seeds got the job done. Arizona last night, you weren't paying attention, however, got drilled. Got absolutely drilled last night by Buffalo, and probably the biggest surprise of the day, not the fact that Arizona lost, but how badly they lost that game, Nick.
Yeah, no, you know, the only thing good that happened in that game was Arizona wrote three in the lane for me today. And I'm very excited to get to three in the lane so I can talk about Arizona and just people in general when asking for advice. But not only did Arizona lose, but now if you would have known, if you could have picked Arizona to lose in the first round, you're definitely going to have a leg up on everybody else in your bracket, because now for those of you that went with your head over your heart and went with Kentucky throughout, as long as Kentucky could get past Arizona in the second round, or in what we thought was going to be a second round matchup, then, I mean, they can make a Final Four, maybe even a national championship run. That's how good that they're playing right now. And you have to remember, they're going to have four or five guys that are going to be taken in the NBA draft in June.
All right, that's Nick Mason. I'm Tommy Kraft. Coming up in about 25 minutes, do you trust Mike Anderson in the big games? We got some interesting numbers today on close games and how the Razorbacks have performed this year. We'll talk about that. Coming up next, though, we'll recap yesterday's results from the NCAA tournament and look ahead to today's slate of 16 games. Will they be as good? And what games are you looking most forward to today in day two of the NCAA tournament? It's Fast Break Friday, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC, where it's March Markdown at Harry Robinson. The savings are madness this month. 2018 Buick Encores. They have sold 38 of these so far, halfway through the month. I was talking with Scott and the crew yesterday. The lowest price, and here's why. It's the lowest price I've ever had, Nick, on Buick Encores. Brand new vehicles, Buick Encores, as low as, so you ready for this? $14,980. Now, we're talking a brand new Buick for under $15,000 right now, this month only. Buick has stepped up with extra rebates, and you can take advantage. So, no need to go north, no need to go anywhere else to save the most money. They have it at Harry Robinson Buick GMC. Exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
You are in the This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas. This is The Morning Rush.
Arkansas going to get after it today in the NCAA tournament. It is a Fast Break Friday, and it's brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC, Exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith. Buick Encores under $15,000 this month. Also, Buick Envisions. Big discounts over $8,800. You can buy a brand new Envision 2018 for $28,809. And hey, they didn't leave out the trucks. Over $10,000 off on GMC Sierra trucks. You can get a slam dunk deal on the truck right now. Also, GMC Acadias, only $23,999. That includes third row seating. Total savings of $10,366 during their March markdowns. It's Fast Break Friday, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. One thing Arkansas likely will have to do if it's going to get by Butler and certainly by Purdue over the course of this weekend and advance to the Sweet 16, they're going to have to win a close game. And most likely going to have to win two close games. Because what's been going on in this tournament, I don't think Arkansas is probably in a position right now to beat a team by 10 or more. Maybe they could beat Butler by 10 or more, but I don't think Arkansas is of that, has that kind of talent disparity between them and Butler to go in there and have that mindset. And certainly when you're playing a two seed, you wouldn't expect that either. You look at the games yesterday, six of the games decided by 6 points or less. Two of the games decided between 6 and 10 points. And eight of the games, half the games yesterday, 10 or more points. A lot of these teams that fell, particularly the teams that got upset, they just failed to close the game out. Mike talked a couple of days ago before they left to go to Detroit that one of the keys in Detroit and one of the keys in this tournament is closing teams out.
had to figure out how to close teams out, especially you know, in this particular tournament, the caliber of teams that you're going to play. And I thought it's really helped us throughout this year. We've had a lot of close games, a lot of games, whether it be 3, 1 point, 5 points, where we had to make plays to finish it off, whether it be defensive play, offensive play, free throw line, taking a charge, somebody come off the bench giving us big minutes. I think that's hopefully the thing they learn. And not only that, this is the time of year it's made for their team with the depth, with guys playing meaningful minutes throughout the year. Somebody hopefully can emerge.
To Mike's point, in games decided by 5 points or fewer this year, Arkansas is 7-1. So they've done very well closing teams out in close games. Games decided by 10 points or fewer, Arkansas has won 11, lost 3. When leading, and this isn't necessarily in close games, I'm just going to give you the numbers as it's written here in the stats. Leading with 5 minutes left in regulation, so this doesn't necessarily mean that the game is close. But when they lead with 5 minutes left in regulation, they hold on and they win 20 times to one loss this year. Leading with 2 minutes left in regulation, same number, 20-1. And both times they've went to overtime this year, they've won 2 games. Nick, I'm of the belief if you're going to go 2-0 this weekend, you're probably going to have to win 2 close games. And we were talking earlier about the common trend in some of these upsets, some of these teams that have had to find ways to win and close teams out. It was a senior with E.C. Matthews for Rhode Island. It was a senior with Dante Ingram for Loyola Chicago. It was a senior and a pair of juniors for Buffalo. One thing Arkansas has is a lot of upperclassmen. They have experienced players. I think that's one reason that gives Arkansas the edge in these close games.
Yeah. I wonder how much of this, though, is going to carry over, because it just seems like whenever you get to the tournament, it is truly a new season. And coaches say all the time, hey, you know, after when you go from the non-conference to the conference, it's a new season, throw everything out from the non-conference. And that's why throughout the conference, you'll see that stats are a lot different. And the way guys play are a lot different from non-conference to conference. And so now, once you get to the NCAA tournament, I just wonder how much of this is going to carry over, because it just seems like teams go to another level or teams just remain the same. But it's one of those things that you're going to see guys that probably average 5 points a game, and somebody's going to come to life and they're going to score 20. You're going to see guys that average 20 points a game that may even wet the bed. So I'm with you. I do think that it's going to come down to Arkansas making free throws. It's going to come down to Arkansas not turning the ball over late. And I have confidence in this team. As long as this team can keep it close, as long as they're in the ball game at halftime, because in the games that Arkansas has lost, they've let it get away from them early, and then they've tried to claw their way back, and they haven't really been great at doing that.
When Arkansas leads on the road or in a neutral site at halftime, they're 6-0. So that is one thing with this team. They're more apt to give up a lead sometimes or fall behind 10 or 12 early and have to dig out. There doesn't seem to be a lot of in between with this team. And that leads me to my next question. When you get to this stage, the bright lights of a Friday afternoon, the NCAA tournament, you trust Mike to get the job done? Do you trust this coaching staff and Mike Anderson in this moment? And I think a lot of fans are kind of contemplating what, you know, their trust level this morning and how much, kind of where they're at with that, you know, going into this game against, I think, more of a name than a team with Butler. I think you see the name Butler and you think about them playing UConn. This isn't that same team, but this is a program that has a lot of tradition in making the tournament and a lot of tournament experience.
It's funny you bring that up. How much of this is Mike Anderson and how much is on the players? Because that's what you really have to ask yourself. Now, I think in the next round, if Arkansas happens to advance and they play against Purdue, I think that's going to be a lot more coaching than it is just on the players, because you can't just line up and beat Purdue. You're going to have to go in and you're going to have to put some things in if Purdue runs. And of course, Purdue is probably going to run a zone, but you're going to have to put some different things in on the offensive end, on the defensive end, to be able to attack Purdue and put pressure on them. But in this game against Butler, I think this is one of those games that Arkansas can roll the ball out. And if guys are playing well, the Razorbacks will win this game. So with that mindset, that's the same mindset that Mike Anderson has. Does he believe that he can just kind of roll the basketball out? Or is he going the opposite way, saying, okay, there are a couple of different sets I need to put in. There are a couple of different calls I need to put in. There are a couple of things I need to do behind the scenes.
See, I think a lot of fans, what I hear and what I read on Twitter and what I get, the feedback and the interaction I get is people don't trust Mike when it comes to 32 seconds left in the game and you got one, maybe two possessions. Can you, and you got one timeout left. Can you draw up that play? You know, these numbers we just gave you about Arkansas winning games late and how Arkansas is closing out games. With a 7-1 in games by 5 points or less, that's coaching. That's putting your players in the position to win. Or at the very minimum, that's not screwing it up.
Yeah.
At the very minimum, give Mike – if you don't want to give Mike any credit, fine. But at least give him credit for getting the hell out of the way and letting players play. But you got to give Mike credit. 7-1 records in games by 5 points or less don't just happen if the coach is getting in there and messing up the rhythm, messing up the flow, not putting players in the right spot, not getting the ball in the right players' hands. Numbers tell me he's doing a good job in these moments.
He's more of a complete game coach. And when I say that, I'm meaning – no, if it's one of those things,
I think he's more of a let players play coach.
No, right. But if you're talking about making calls, he's not a, okay, 10 seconds left, this is the underneath out of bounds play I'm about to run where this guy's going to be wide open to win the game. But what he is, okay, I think we need to play zone throughout the duration of this game. I think we need to change it up, and then Arkansas ends up beating South Carolina last year on the road, a South Carolina team that goes on to the Final Four. Or the call he makes against Tennessee to continue to put that pressure on them, because part of that record, I mean, Tennessee had an 85% free throw shooter go to the line to win the game, and if he makes both of them, Arkansas loses, and he made one and missed one. So, like, that doesn't have anything to do with necessarily the previous call that Mike just called that made that kid miss those free throws. It has to do with even when Tennessee's beating your pressure and continuing to score on you time and time again, staying in that defense.
But there is times late in the game or out of a timeout when you got to call an inbound play and you've got to be able to dissect on the fly their weakness and then design a play, communicate that with your players, and then them execute it. And I think that's where a lot of fans who aren't in the huddle, who really don't know anything, get frustrated, because the perception for whatever reason is Mike and his staff can't do that or don't do that. But the numbers tell me that when the game's on the line, they win far more times than they lose.
Yeah. I don't think this game, though, and I honestly don't think this game or the next game is going to come down to a last-second shot by Arkansas. I just don't see it. If they don't make the right adjustments against Purdue, then Purdue's going to blow Arkansas out. But now, I do think that they're going to put in a few different things. I think there's going to be a little bit of a different feel, a different look. And then today against Butler, I don't think that this game – I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm thinking more of 6 to 10 points with Arkansas really controlling the game.
Coming up in about an hour, we're going to tell you one of the wildest stories you'll ever hear about someone losing a championship ring and getting it back nearly 15 years later. That someone is your head coach, Mike Anderson. We'll hear about that story in his own words coming up in the next hour at about 7:35. Three in the Lane with Nick is on the way. Hey, being equipped for tomorrow starts today. Buy now and save on the New Holland equipment you need from Williams Tractor at Fayetteville and in Rogers. 0% financing plus cashback options on select New Holland equipment, hay, and harvesting equipment all right now. Stop by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers and see how much you can save. This is the Morning Rush on the radio and all over the state and streaming online at hitthatline.com.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
A on air, and streaming now on HitThatLine.com. This is The Morning Rush.
Hey, if you want to get after us this morning on Twitter, you can do that at Morning Rush Show. At Morning Rush Show on Twitter, if you want to talk to us there. Or you can hit us up on the phone lines, 877-377-6963. That's 877-377-6963. Fast Break Friday brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. No need to go north for your next vehicle. You can get the best deal on a new Buick or a new GMC right here locally at Harry Robinson Buick GMC. No reason to drive an hour or more away. More for your trade, always, at Harry Robinson Buick GMC. Things are changing here at the Morning Rush. You've known that. It's been a few weeks since Derek announced that he's going to step away from radio. Things are a little bit different today. They're weird for me. They're different for me. I'm not used to being in this chair, kind of leading the conversation. It's not really what I'm comfortable doing, not normally what I do. I step in and do it when someone's on vacation or when I need to, but not necessarily my role. And not the role I'm going to continue in. John Neighbors, who we introduced you to on Wednesday of this week, will fill this role, and it will be John and myself and Nick every day with you. Tyler will still be stopping in for visits. We'll still have Tom Murphy and Richard Davenport and other folks on the show as we move along. But John's here in the studio with us this morning. He's going to spend some time up until 8 o'clock this morning chatting with us here. And John, we're glad you're here. Monday, it's all going to be a different world here on the Morning Rush.
No doubt about it. And let me just say that I am really appreciative that this all worked out during March Madness instead of like late June when there's not really anything going on and there's not really much to talk about, not much excitement. But no, I am really excited about this opportunity. Obviously, we've had a working relationship for a while now. And
well, Nick did tell you that. Still have to come in and do shows in June, right? Nick did tell you that?
Well, Nick told me there'd be no work. Like, that's what...
I think Nick's already got that job.
yeah. But no, it was... it's one of those things where it's exciting, and it's also something that I'm appreciative of. But also, working with you two and us doing the show together and all that, even though we haven't all technically done a show together. Me and Nick used to do one, but I think that this trio will work out really well.
I didn't hear those tapes.
Well,
wait a minute. No one turned those tapes in when I was doing the review process.
I was hoping that Chris Fry or Bart or April won because John fired me before. So hopefully...
Well, you probably deserved it.
Not probably. But hopefully John doesn't get too close to Tommy and gets on Tommy's good side and gets me fired again. Because it has to be somebody else's fault. It can't be my fault.
Of course.
Well, we're glad you're here. And no one's more glad you're here than me, particularly with everything that's going on here. It's but out there listed, behind the scenes, folks, it's just chaos. But we're doing a pretty good job of sorting through it all. And, hey, listen, there's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some bruises. There's going to be some things that don't sound normal, some things that sound different, some things you're going to like more, some things you're going to like less. But we're just going to be here talking about it. We're just going to – here's what we're still going to do. Here's still the deal that doesn't change. We're just going to tell you what we really think. And no matter – who's behind these microphones, as long as I'm involved, that's the deal, is we're going to be honest with you. We're not going to give you any company line or any nonsense. It's just going to be what we really think about stuff. And we're just going to have this conversation every morning.
That's right.
We're going to let you be a part of it via Twitter, call in, however it wants to work. We'll see where this all goes, all right? That's what we're going to do. All right, one of the things I wanted to get to here was one of the most unusual stories I've heard, and this story from Mike Anderson's a little bit long, but I think he tells it better than I can tell it. But we all know that Arkansas won the 1994 national championship, and we all know that Mike Anderson was the lead assistant, top assistant for Nolan Richardson, and we all know that championship teams get championship rings. That's why you compete, right? To win the ring. Mike Anderson, I didn't know this. Did any of you guys know that he had lost? And
no,
apparently
clue.
There's two championship rings, but he lost his championship ring. And recently, maybe as an omen, the ring has shown back up.
Yeah, I lost the NCAA national championship ring. I had no idea when I lost it. That's, you got to remember, we won that in 94. And I recently this year someone called me from a pawn shop on the outside of New Orleans and said, you know, I did some research and this ring came in my shop and I looked at the roster and there was only one Anderson. Are you that Anderson? Said, yep, you got me. And lo and behold, to make a long story short, it got to the pawn shop, so somebody evidently kind of, I thought I lost it or somebody took it from me, and I didn't know. And the guy called me and said, hey, do you want it back? And we went through all that. You know how sometimes you think about pawn shops, man. They're just trying to get you, man. But true enough, it was my ring, and he sent me a picture and all that stuff. And it's amazing that Matt Zimmerman was my operations guy, and I had the picture, and I showed him. And of all guys, you know, it's this guy, he don't forget what took place in 1922, and he wasn't even born then. This guy has just got to remember. Coach, I remember when you lost. We was at a hotel in New Orleans. We had just played Tulane, and we got on the bus, the plane. You said, hey, I think I left my ring in the room. Could you call back there? He said, call back there, and they had the maids look for it and all that stuff. You know, they never did find it, and but it worked its way to a pawn shop. And so you can imagine that was in, I think, I must have lost like in 04, I think. So 04 till 2017. And lo and behold, it shows up. And so I got my NCAA National Championship ring back, Bob.
And did the pawn guy make you pay for it, or do you take that as a good omen?
No, I had to pay for it.
What a story, man. Now, first of all, if you ever lose your ring, particularly your wedding ring, guys, your wife better be there when you lose it. But I don't think anyone in the fan base knew. This wasn't like public knowledge that he had lost the championship ring. Or at least if it was, you guys have any idea about this?
Well, and if you want to find something like that, though, he should have told the fan base.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, had he had told the fan base when he first was hired as head coach of the University of Arkansas, if he'd have said, hey, you know, the one thing I wish a fan would just go out and find my championship ring, that thing would have been found by Razorback fans in about 2 weeks. And somebody would have found it, purchased it, and delivered it to his office.
I think the most amazing thing is that he said it was still in good shape. You think about probably the amount of hands that it was exchanged. That may not have been the first pawn shop it was hawked at.
True.
I mean, we're talking 14 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time. And I couldn't imagine how sick I would have felt if I was Mike Anderson losing my national championship ring. Because I believe he said that was the one that was given to him by the NCAA.
Right.
It wasn't even...
There was two rings that they had. That the NCAA made them a ring as national champions. And then the University of Arkansas had some rings that had the number one and was a little bigger and had some other stuff on it. So they had two different rings, but the one he had lost was the NCAA championship ring.
How much would you pay for a national championship ring?
Well, I mean, what I would pay for a Razorback championship ring would probably be different than what I'd pay for any other championship ring.
Right, but how much would you?
I don't know. The number that just sticks out in my mind that I wouldn't go over would be $1,000.
Yeah, I'd be the same way. I wouldn't pay over $1,000.
So if I can go find a Razorback championship ring, both of you guys would give me at least $990 for it.
Depends on whose name. I mean, there would be some factors, but perhaps. I mean, that's something that I'm not a collector. I'm not a guy. You're not going to come to my house and see all these football helmets that are signed or these footballs that are. I'm just not a memorabilia collector. I've got some. You know, I've got some stuff hanging on the walls that is sports related, but I'm not I don't get autographs. I don't collect things. So that's not really my deal, but that would be a neat piece of history that, you know, there's only how many of the, I mean, I know that a lot of the support staff, but if it was someone on the team, there's what, 20 of those counting coaches and people directly involved with the team?
Probably around that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the thing is like you said, I wouldn't go out and spend that much money. No offense. If it was John Inkscoff, you know, and it had his name on it, it wouldn't have the same value it would if it was Corliss or Scotty or any of the other guys that had a lot to deal with that national championship team. But it would still just be something that'd be extremely, especially if it was the one given by the NCAA. It wasn't one that the U of A bought. That was one that the NCAA is like, no, you won the championship. Here you go.
Here was the question that started the conversation that Bob Holt had asked him the question. There in Detroit. Is this a good omen?
Can't be a bad one.
You know, it can't be a bad one that you stumble across your championship ring in a pawn. I mean, what are the odds? A pawn shop in New Orleans, of all places? You lost it in 2004, and you get it back in 2018, just days ahead of a tournament appearance? I don't think this is going to put Arkansas in the Sweet 16 or anything, but this is, you know, It's one of those things that if Arkansas makes the Sweet 16, if Arkansas went on that run, boy, isn't this a nice little cherry on top of the story that factors in that kind of, as we weave and tell the story years from now, won't this be a nice little footnote, a nice little accent to the story if Arkansas can get on a run here?
It was like that stupid rally squirrel that happened.
Yeah.
The rally possum or whatever it was. It's just
the rally ring.
Yeah, it'll just be one of those things that was like, hey, and Arkansas hadn't made it to the Sweet 16 since 96. It's been a long time. But when Mike Anderson found his championship ring, that's when it all turned over and they got it going. It's going to be given a lot of credit, at least by a lot of Razorback fans for that matter.
Or whenever Tommy Kraft allowed Twitter to hire John Neighbors, that's whenever Arkansas made it back to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. So, hey, just depends on.
If it doesn't work out, the people made the decision, you know. I've got the perfect escape hatch here on this deal. So
hey, and I've never been to San Antonio, so it'd be a really cool opening few weeks to the new job to be able to go down to the Final Four in San Antonio.
I'm always up for some good guacamole and cheese dip.
No doubt.
Sounds good. Hey, spring break is here, and if you're looking for something different to do with a family this next week, how about Gaston's White River Resort, 870-431-5202. Still some time left in March. St. Patrick's Day weekend, spring break week coming up. When you stay two or more nights right now at Gaston's, you get 30% off your lodging at Gaston's White River Resort. 30% off when you get one of their great cottages, one of their great lodges, one of their great accommodations there at Gaston's White River Resort. So be sure and check it out online at Gaston's.com. Gaston's.com for all the details, and you can choose the space that you need at Gaston's White River Resort. They can also help you reserve that boat and motor, the perfect guide to take you and your family out and really enjoy the White River and land your limit. Gaston's White River Resort. Find them on Facebook and online at Gaston's.com. Gaston's White River Resort. A first-class time.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios, this is the Morning Rush.
5 seconds, Gray starts to go, crosses over, drives, leans in, scores it! He flipped it up and in off the window!
Streaming live on HitThatLine.com and bringing you all the NCAA tournament coverage.
One timeout, they don't take it!
Your hosts, Tommy Kraft and Nick Mason.
You know, that music right there gets everybody in the mood for basketball. And when I say Kentucky and Arkansas, we really get in the mood for basketball, right? Because when we say Kentucky and Arkansas, that can only mean one thing, right?
They're playing for the football SEC championship in Atlanta.
Oh, I hadn't contemplated that. What you don't think is that it could mean a big baseball weekend. We're going to get to that. Scott Tabor's going to join us in just a moment. It's a fast break, and now we're going to call it a Fastball Friday, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. It's their March markdown at Harry Robinson, where you get more for your trade. Buick Encores for under $15,000, just $14,980 at Harry Robinson Buick GMC. Be sure and see them at exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith. Former Razorback Scott Tabor is with us now, who we'll get to the Arkansas-Texas series too, but I want to talk about this Arkansas-Kentucky series first, because it's number 4 versus number 5. And Scott, if the Razorbacks weren't playing today in Detroit in the NCAA tournament, this would be the biggest thing going on. It would be what we would spend the majority of the show on. It's rare that we get two top 5 teams playing each other in our state, but yet I feel like for most fans that are not just hardcore baseball-only fans, this is probably like at least second and probably third on their priority list for today.
Yeah, exactly right. This is a big weekend.
Huge weekend.
Kentucky's got some players. They got a great pitching staff. They got a lot of hitting coming back from last year. You know, they've been in the last few years, they've really, really been building towards this type of a year, which on the other side, so has the Razorbacks. You know, we've gone through some changeover in pitching staff and in infielders and outfielders, and just like everybody does in college. But they have built the Razorbacks have built the team, the kind of team that they know can go deep into the tournament. Kentucky is also doing the same thing, which is kind of spread throughout the SEC. So, yeah, this is a huge weekend. Huge weekend.
Huge night tonight. Righty Blaine Knight, who you would expect to be there on a Friday night, will be for the Razorbacks. throwing a righty for Kentucky, a guy that's got an ERA 1.35, Blaine Knight 0.78. If you love pitching, tonight's your night.
Well, a lot of fans, fair weather fans, or just people who really just like to watch the game in general for the excitement, probably not that excited. They want to see,
no, they want to see home runs,
line drives, and what have you. But pitching, if you're a purist of the game, watching two great pitchers go head-to-head and watch some great hitters get turned into very average hitters, this will be a great series to watch.
You're a baseball guy, Scott, but you're also a Razorback fan. When does baseball season officially start for you? Is it from the first big series? Is it from the first game just in general? Or is it when the basketball team is out of the NCAA tournament?
As soon as the Christmas holidays are over, it really does. You know, your blood starts flowing. I used to love to go to spring training. I get so excited for spring training because it's just nothing but baseball. And then when I was in college, you know, spring break was nothing but baseball. You had no school, but we had doubleheaders every single day in our place because we had AstroTurf. That time of year, this time of year, I get really excited for it. You know, and in the past, we haven't always had the NCAA tournament to look forward to and how deep we're going to go into that. So baseball, when baseball comes around, I'm always fired up for it.
You know, Arkansas got a couple of big wins this week over Texas. Get your thoughts on that, because I know that's close to your heart, and Arkansas did very well in that. One thing, though, I want to make sure that, just to put Kentucky in perspective, not just with their number four ranking, but also some teams they beat, including a series win over number three Texas Tech. So not only has Kentucky got the ranking, but everybody's entering conference play, which you want to get off to the right start in conference play. You got the chance to play at home, but you're playing a team that's in the top five just like you are. But they've also beaten another team in a series that's in the top five. My point is, this is a proven Kentucky team.
Yes. Yeah, they're not just coming in based the ranking's not based on conjecture. It's
correct.
Based on real numbers. They're playing Texas Tech. I just give you a little history on Texas Tech. Back in the Southwest Conference days, Texas was always going to be number one because they had great pitching, great fielding. Texas Tech was the team that, as a pitcher, nobody liked to face. Texas Tech and TCU, every year, they had the best hitting teams. You know, Arkansas would be right up there with them several years, but they had guys that could just absolutely rake. They're just really, really weak in pitching. I think Texas used all their scholarship money on pitchers. If you were a pitcher, you went to Texas. And everybody, they just let hitters come in, I guess. But Texas Tech was always feared. And things have evened out. A lot of better arms all around the country. Recruiting is better around the country, more widespread. So a team that's historically a good hitting team, and they play in the wind. I mean, it's a storm down there every day. They just historically have great hitting, and now they're putting it all together on the field with pitching and fielding, and everything's coming around. So I think I guess their RPI and what have you, they've earned it.
Yep.
You know, they're not coming to here on last year's score.
We all expect this team to be in Omaha. Would it be a big disappointment if they weren't able to win this series this weekend against Kentucky?
You can't really say a disappointment in the opening weekend of the conference. You know, you want to start the conference playoff. You hate to dig yourself a hole very first week and have to be climbing out of it all year. But it's a long, long conference schedule. You play three games for a reason. You know, if you lose the first game, if it's a 2-1 game or a 1-0 game on a bloop single, you know, you live with it. What you want to do is come out and play good, solid, clean baseball. You want your hitters to hit, and you want your pitchers to pitch, and you can just do what you can do. And you have to remember, you're facing some good guys on the other side. So even a great pitcher like Blaine Knight, who just floods the strike zone, there are going to be some guys that hit him. He's not unhittable, and I think he's shown that. He doesn't walk many people, which is what keeps him out of trouble. So you give up a couple of hits, not a big deal when you don't have guys on base that you put there with a free pass. So I think it's going to be interesting to see you as a coach what – Dave doesn't want to see is some poor play, you know, lack of hustle, errors. The games that they have lost this year mostly had some errors involved in them, and I think they've cleaned a lot of that up. If you watch, they're playing better ball. They know who to put in for who for defensive purposes or late in the game for pinch hitting purposes and who to bring out of the pen. I think a big thing to watch this weekend is who's going to close the game out. Jackson Rutledge is from what I understand, may or may not throw. I think he's kind of been put on the shelf. He's got a 0 ERA. That's not bad. that's not bad. So when he comes in some very, very effective innings in some tight situations. And so it'll be interesting to see who they bring in to shut the game out.
So number 5, Arkansas versus number 4, Kentucky, beginning tonight at Baum Stadium. I want to spend our last few minutes here together talking about Arkansas and Texas. First of all, I know Augie Garrido is a name that anyone that follows college baseball knows him. He passed away yesterday, and I know a lot of things have been said around college baseball about what he has meant to the sport. Kind of timely with this Arkansas-Texas series, and I know that you and some of your teammates got together, and I know a lot of nostalgia, a lot of old feelings came back when the Hogs and the Horns took the diamond out there this week.
Yeah, and actually Augie Garrido was the coach of the up-and-coming Cal State Fullerton team that beat us twice to win the national championship back in 79. So when Gustafson left Texas, they hired Garrido to go to Texas, and he had a great stint at Texas. And, yes, he was a fantastic coach. You know, he earned everything that he got. I mean, he brought Fullerton from the ashes to becoming a national powerhouse. But, yeah, coming back to Texas, it was a glorious midweek series. Watching them just get absolutely just trashed on Tuesday night in a well-played game on Wednesday that we came out on top of. And that's one thing that I think that the Hogs are in great shape with. They have lost enough games to see what it takes to lose, to see what causes them to lose. And most, like I said, not playing good, clean baseball. Sometimes you're just going to lose a great, great, well-played game. Sometimes you just come out on the backside of it. But I think they have been polished enough and they've played enough games and close enough games that they know what it takes to win and what it takes to avoid losing. So this should be a great series this weekend.
And, you know, that Arkansas-Texas series does set the table for this weekend. It also, as we said, sets the table for a long road trip for Arkansas. Arkansas and Kentucky this weekend, very important because now you're going to go on a trip out to UNC Charlotte, then down to Florida to play a team that's, at least on paper, better than Kentucky. More highly thought of in the polls.
Right.
This is a really difficult stretch that Dave and his team's getting ready to take on here to start conference play.
Yeah, he brought that up to me the other day when we were talking on Tuesday when we all got together. He said, this is really just, you know, you guys are making a big deal of the Texas series. He goes, I don't want the kids to think this is the series of the year because we've got Kentucky and then we got to go down to Florida and then we have, I think, Texas Tech maybe shortly after that and then down to LSU. And then he said, it's just on and on and on. And then, of course, I looked at him and I said, yeah, but this is Texas. He goes, no, I know. You know, so it's still there, but he doesn't want the kids, the kids to feel like that they got to get way up for this and then have a letdown this weekend for conference. But, yeah, that's why you come to Arkansas. You come to the University of Arkansas because you want to play the best, and you're going to play the best, and you're going to beat the best. And if you're going to be the top team in the nation, you got to play great teams. You can't come in with a watered-down schedule and a low RPI and not know what you've got going into postseason play. And they want to get to postseason play, first of all. Once you get there, this team, I think, is built for tournament play because of their depth. So it's going to be very, very fun to watch.
Should be a fun weekend. We'll talk about that and everything that unfolds over the course of the next week, next Friday with you, Scott.
All right. See you then.
All right, Scott Tabor, former Razorback, member of the 1979 College World Series team for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Fun week for those guys watching Arkansas and Texas. Kentucky, by the way, has won 10 of their last 12 games, including that series win over Texas Tech. 6:30 tonight, and here's what's going to happen. The Arkansas basketball game should wrap up between 4:30 and 5. Bo Mattingly's going to fill the gap between the basketball broadcast and the start of the baseball broadcast, which will start at 6 o'clock tonight on many of these stations. There will be no basketball tomorrow, of course, regardless of the outcome of tonight's game. That game's scheduled for 2 o'clock, and then Sunday, the game is scheduled for 1. There may be some conflicts. We don't know the basketball situation yet, of course, or the time if there is a game. So we'll keep you posted on all of that. Big sports weekend, though, around the state. Arkansas and Kentucky, 4 versus 5. March Madness, Arkansas playing Butler this afternoon. Then tomorrow, it's the Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn. We'll go to the track and talk to Tracy White about today's card and this weekend's stakes race. We'll do that next on the Morning Rush.
You are in the middle of a fast break Friday.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.